I'm spiritual, I'm just not religious. That has become a catchphrase in America over the last couple of years. That's a way that people are able to tell themselves, I'm a really good person, I'm just not connected to anything that's really overtly spiritual. Reflects an attitude that everybody is entitled to a boutique faith. And by that I mean, I get to make up my own faith. You know, I'll think about the things I want to believe and the things I don't want to believe, about the way I want to relate to God and the way I don't want to relate to God. And I'll just kind of make it up on the fly as I go, because after all, I'm way too spiritual to be locked down by anybody's organized religion. Don't tie yourself down to any specific faith. Don't embrace any particular belief. Believe this: God will let you come to Him on His terms, because He is so desperate for people to believe in Him that He lets you make up the rules and He'll follow along. Instead, everybody's entitled to whatever path feels right to you, because that's the most important thing when you're spiritual and not religious. It's really all about how you feel. Do I feel good about things? Do I feel right about my life? Do I feel okay about who I am? After all, I don't have anybody's objective standard that I have to apply to my life. Now, how current is that? How's this? This morning I got up and I was pulling up my computer and getting ready to read through my notes one more time and kind of listen to the last few changes I needed to make. And this article kind of popped up and recommended, and it was about 10 things to do to improve your life. And I thought, well, you know, everybody wants to know. And I got to number 10. By the way, number one was make your bed. Number four was learn to enjoy washing the dishes. You say to yourself, this warm water feels so good. These bubbles floating around make me so happy. I'm so grateful that I'm the one that gets to wash the dishes. Yeah, that didn't work for me either. Number 10 was, and at least once every day, connect with something bigger than yourself. Remind yourself that you live in a big universe and that things are more important than you. But then it got to the end of this paragraph about connecting with things bigger than yourself, and this is what it said, honest truth. It said, maybe you should create a sacred place within your house. A place where you go, and when you go to that place, you can worship God as you feel like worshiping Him. Or, if spirituality is not your thing, take a warm bubble bath and light a candle. There's only three problems with this whole attitude, this philosophy of life, of being spiritual but not being religious. Number one is, if you truly believe that anything is worthy of worship, then nothing is worthy of worship. If you think that you can choose your way and I can choose my way and it won't really matter because as long as both of us are sincere, we're fine, then there's nothing out there worthy of worship. Second, no matter how much you want to believe it, feelings never come before truth. Just a few moments ago, Dr. Hutchins was showing us his clock. Now, you could take out that kit with all those pieces and throw away that instruction manual and put it together the way you feel like it ought to work. You could say, I feel like this piece goes with this piece, and I think I probably ought to attach this here. And even though they didn't give me any glue in my kit, I think I'll squirt some glue on here. What are the odds that you're going to have a working clock? Zero. Zero. Feelings never trump truth. There are some things that are real, whether you want them to be or not. There are truths that you might as well believe because they are eternal. And how you feel about it has nothing to do with it. Finally, a generic belief in your own spirituality is ultimately futile. Let me tell you something. If you think it's possible to be spiritual without being religious, then you have just said, and there is no reason that Jesus Christ should ever have walked the face of this earth, because I could find my way without him. To believe in your own spirituality is flying blind into the face of eternity. It's like feeling your way along in the dark. If you don't believe me, ask Josiah. Josiah became king of Judah during a critical time in that nation. It was a nation that had lost its way. Let me tell you about what happened when Josiah became the king of Judah. He replaced his father Amon. Amon had only ruled for 2 years, and then he was murdered by his own servants because the nation was in chaos. Before Amon was his father Manasseh. Manasseh had been the king for over 50 years, and it was one of the worst, most degraded periods in the history of Judah. The people suffered, and they lived in fear. Manasseh murdered most of his own family. Wherever he looked, enemies were at the gate. During Manasseh's reign, people turned their back on the living God. False religions flourished all over the country. If you read through this passage of 2 Kings 22 and 23, you'll find out all kinds of religions had been spouting up all over the country. All sorts of idols had been erected, and all kinds of holy places had been chosen. Immoral behavior was rampant. The Bible says it even reached the point that in the name of their spirituality, people were sacrificing their own children in fire to earn the privileges of serving their gods. During that season of Manasseh's reign, everyone did what he or she thought was right. They forgot all about what it meant to obey and serve the Lord. And worst of all was what happened in their relationship to the Word of God. Remember last Sunday we talked about Moses and about how God gave his people the written Word for the first time. They didn't just have to listen. They didn't just have to listen. They could actually read and obey and follow God's Word. It was the most incredible gift that humanity had ever been given. And yet during the time of Manasseh, everything about their approach to the Bible changes. First, they turned away from God's Word. I'm not going to obey what it says. I don't have to believe its principles. Its laws don't apply to me. And then after that, they neglected God's Word. I know it's there, but I don't have time to really learn what it has to say. That's the priest's job. I don't need to know what the Word of God says to me. And then finally, the Bible says ultimately they forgot God's Word ever existed. Can you imagine that? At one point, God had given them this incredible gift through Moses, but by the time of Manasseh, they didn't even remember there was one. It wasn't, we're ignoring the Word of God, we're neglecting the Word of God. If somebody asked you, do you know what the Word of God says, they would say, what in the world are you talking about? It was a forgotten treasure from God Himself. And during that time, Judah became a nation in free fall. They no longer had any moral boundaries. They no longer had any ethical direction. They had no clue where they were headed or what they were supposed to be about. By the time Josiah became king, it seemed as though Judah had passed the point of no return. The nation was in chaos. Everything seemed to be a matter of every man for himself. In Judah, everybody did what they thought was right because there was no standard to which they applied their lives. And nobody believed Josiah would be able to turn things around. After all, the Bible says he was 8 years old when he became the king. 8 years old. Can you imagine? Who's going to listen to a kid? And besides that, based on what had just happened to his father, nobody really believed that Josiah would live to see another day, another week, another month. But the Lord had placed a desire in his heart from a child. He was determined to turn his people back to the Lord. How Josiah knew anything about God, we really don't know. But we know this, he had in himself a hunger. If our people can just find our way back to God, if we can just find our way back to the Lord, then he can help us become the people God always wanted us to be. For 18 years, he did his best to be a godly leader. In fact, this is what the Bible says about those 18 years. It says he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. But here was Josiah's problem. He wanted to follow God, and he wanted to bring his people back to God, and he wanted to lead a nation to the Lord. But he was trying to do it all by himself. He was trying to find his way alone. He had nothing and nobody to guide him. He was just doing the best he could with what he had. But it was then that a miracle took place. You see, Josiah had planned to restore the house of the Lord. By the time he became king, the temple was in ruins. It had been defiled by idols. It had been neglected by leaders. It had been forgotten by the people. The temple was that old building that something important used to happen in a long time ago, but we don't know exactly what it was. And Josiah believed, if I can just get things right, then maybe we can find our way back to the Lord. He believed that rebuilding the house of God was a major step in putting God back where he belonged. So the work began. It was supervised by Hilkiah the priest and Shaphan the scribe. They were the ones who were put over the project of, let's restore the temple. Let's clean out the idols. Let's rebuild the walls. Let's make it what it ought to be so that we can honor God in this place. And as that work began, and as they began to clear away the rubble, and as they began to go through the ruins of the temple, one day, in the midst of the work, Hilkiah said to Shaphan, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I found it. It's God's word. We had forgotten that it existed. But here it is. I want you to understand what a powerful moment that was. Think about this. Nobody alive at that time, nobody had any knowledge of what God's law said. Somebody may have heard about something from their grandfather, who's heard about something from their father, about some kind of book. But nobody knew what it said. Nobody even knew a copy existed. And then it was discovered in the rubble of the temple. Can you imagine the excitement of these two men as they found something and they realized we got hold of something that we didn't know was there, and it has God's word in it, and it has God's directions for us, and maybe this is what we've been looking for all this time. And Shaphan rushed to carry it to the palace. And for the first time in his life, Josiah heard the words of Scripture. And what he heard transformed his life. You know, I really do think it's impossible for you and I to understand what an incredible moment that was. Because none of us know what it's like to be exposed to the Word of God for the very first time. The truth is, you and I have all the access to Scripture that we want. Just this past week, I ordered 2 more copies of the Bible to replace some I had that had worn out beyond use, some study Bibles. We don't know what it's like to be so hungry to know what God says. The truth is, our greatest temptation is to take it for granted. If I said, can you find your Bible, you would say, there it is. I put it down there last Sunday when I got home from church, and it was still there this Sunday when I got ready to go again. Did you open it up during the week? Well, no, but I had other things going on. You have to understand, it's busy. I really know I need to read the Bible. I intend to read the Bible. I just haven't found a good time to do it yet, but someday I will. We've discovered a little bit of that excitement coming here this past week and reading through the Word as we have been reading through the Word in this room. There was that sense of excitement. And you know, one of the things that thrills me about what we're doing with Faith Comes Through Hearing is simply this. While this church, as you said, Joe, has been built on the Word of God, and we're committed to obeying the Word of God, and this room has been filled with the Word of God, when we're done with this project next week, we will know that there is not a word contained in Scripture that is not saturating this room. You know, there are passages that we generally don't find being taught or preached a lot, but they're being read. I can't remember the last time I preached on a genealogy other than maybe the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. But when we're done with this, every word of God's Scripture will have been read within this room. That's powerful, isn't it? We can catch just a glimmer of what Josiah was experiencing. He was hearing from God. And the Word of God transformed Josiah's life. I want you to look at how he responded to what he discovered. The first thing the Bible says is this. It says he received the Word. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. When he walked into the room, we don't know what the king was about. We don't know what affairs of state he may have been handling or what he might have been doing to govern his people. But this is what we know. When the scribe walked in the room, when he said, I have the book, Josiah stopped everything so that he could hear the word of God. He had the opportunity to hear the purposes and promises of God. He set aside everything to hear. He heard commands and promises. He heard expectations and warnings. Most of all, Josiah discovered that while he had done his best, while he was on his own spiritually, he still had a long way to go before his life would be right with God. Because of that, he responded to the word. Now it happened that when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. What is the Bible saying? Bible saying the word of God pierced him to the depth of his heart. And he responded from the very deepest places of his soul. Tearing his clothes was a sign of mourning and repentance. It was a sign that he was overcome by how far he had to go to make his life right with God. That he realized how many things he had allowed into his life that were not part of what God wanted him to do. And he tore his clothes in repentance. Those torn clothes were the sign of a heart that is hungry for truth, even truth that hurts. It reflected a desire to change, no matter what will be required. Josiah was ready to get serious with God. Understand something, the Word of God has power. And it speaks to the depth of our hearts. And one of the things that will always be true if you expose your life to the Word is you won't be able to stay the same that you have been. You will be changed when you read the Word seriously. So Josiah acted in obedience to the Word. And then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. Now I want you to see how that passage begins. This is what it says. It says, he stood by a pillar. That pillar was the foundation of the palace. And by standing beside that pillar, Josiah was declaring before his people, God's word was going to be the foundation of who he was from that moment forward. I am building my life on a strong foundation. His commitment reminds me of that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. What? No turning back. No turning back. If Josiah had had a Baptist hymnal, Joe, he would have called you to the front. And we would have jumped right into that song. The world behind me, the cross before me. For the first time in his life, Josiah had spiritual direction that he had received from God himself. He was not following his feelings. He was not trying to make up his own faith. No matter how serious he had been, he was doing the best he could, but now he had direction. He was trusting and following God's objective truth. And then Josiah led others to follow the word. And all the people took a stand for this covenant. It was the beginning of revival in the nation of Judah. It was the beginning of restoring them to being God's covenant people. They repented of their sins. They turned to the Lord. They restored true worship. They abolished idols. They committed to live according to God's command. They did away with their pagan practices. They measured their lives by the word of God. And Josiah became a spiritual giant. I love the way 2 Kings describes his life. It says, now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him. This guy was a giant. God's people owed their continued existence to his love for God and his obedience to God's word. Josiah is not remembered for changing his life. He is remembered for changing everything around him. How did it happen? He let the word have its way in his life. It was a pivotal moment in the story of God's people. They had drifted away and turned away and forgotten God and rejected God and followed wherever their feelings led them. And then God lifted up a man and gave him a book, and he changed history. What a great story. So here's my question. What's that got to do with you? What's that got to do with me? What does this story from 2 Kings have to say about your life and mine? It says this: God is calling you to radical transformation, to live a life for him that is bold and committed. So how's that going to happen? Josiah reminds us, you have to let the word have its way in your life. Let me tell you something. If you ever dare to say, yeah, I tried to read the Bible, but the truth is it's dry and it's boring and I just couldn't find anything there that interested me. Let me tell you something. Problem's not with this. Because this word will change your life. Because this word will make you a different person. when you begin to say, not, I guess I ought to read my Bible. Maybe it's time to read the Bible. I guess somebody said I should read the Bible. But when you begin to say, what is God saying to me in this word? It changes everything. Instead of trusting your own opinions or depending on your own feelings, you take the Lord at His word. So what do? You receive the word. You open your eyes and you open your heart. You open yourself up and you say, God, speak to me. I don't want information. I want you. Speak to me through your word. You respond to the word. If the Bible says to do it, I will do it. Not, I will do it if I like it. Not, I'll do it if it's easy. If God says do it, I will do it. You act in obedience to the word. You stop asking what feels good to me and ask what God wants you to do. And just like Josiah, you lead others to know the Lord and follow His word. How do you do that? By your example. You know, one of the things we see about Josiah is he was the one who was out in front all the time. He didn't hear that word and then say to Shaphan and to Hilkiah, okay, guys, you go out and you take this everywhere and you make people begin to obey. He led the way. And so must you. You want other people around you to take the word seriously? It has to begin in your own life. You lead others to know and follow the Lord through intentional obedience. I want my life to reflect His will. You begin at home. There's nowhere that it's more important for you to lift the word up and make it what it ought to be than at your house, in your home. But you don't stop there. You extend to the world. You take the gospel, the word of God, the story of Jesus, wherever you go. And you have those opportunities as God creates them. I had the most interesting experience this past week. I went to the place where I always get my hair cut. I've been going there for, year and a half. Long enough that everybody there knows that I'm the pastor of this church because it's just down the hill. And a lady was cutting my hair away, and all of a sudden, the one in the next booth walked over there and said, listen, I need to ask you a question. And I said, what? And she said, look, I've decided this year I need to read the Bible. I've never really read the Bible. And somebody told me I ought to ask, read the book of Acts. It's okay. And she said, so what's Acts all about? And I said, well, let me just tell you. I said, that's where Jesus ascended. That's where Pentecost happened. That's where the church was born. That's where God began to reach the entire world. It's a great book to read. You should read it. And the girl that was cutting my hair said, I think I ought to read that too. And somebody else said, well, I read this little devotional book, and that's working for me. And I said, well, you ought to think about this one, because I didn't like the book she was reading. And I just thought, right there in about a 15-minute span, we just got to talk about the Bible. Not because I came in and said, guys, I'm going to quote Scripture to you, but because I had an opportunity to carry the Word to the world around me. And those kinds of opportunities happen all the time, and they're not circumstantial. You just have to pay attention. Josiah rediscovered the most powerful thing he would ever find, the Word of God, that he could apply to his life and take to the world around him. And so do you, and so do I. And we recognize that when we carry that Word, and when we read that Word, and when we trust that Word, it always points us to Jesus. The one who loved us and gave himself for us. And maybe today you're here and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've read about Jesus a lot. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you haven't at all, but you know this. Today you need to know you have a Savior, and he loved you, and he died for you, and he rose again. And he's coming for those who belong to him. And when you trust him, you can have everlasting life. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's all you need to know to begin the journey. And maybe today when we sing our invitation hymn, if you need to know Jesus, you just need to slip up your hand and say, "It's me. It's me." Or maybe as a believer, you're thinking, "God's leading me to this place. I want to plant my life, my membership in a church that's built on the Word of God. Today I'd like to join the church." Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. As God speaks to you, you respond. Let's sing together.